Welcome to the Spin Axis Podcast. I'm Eric Barseski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
I'm Tyson Deskins.
And I'm Cooper Dossie.
So today we got Cooper. He is my favorite Korn Ferry player. Probably going to be making it to the big show soon here. Thanks for coming on. I mean, I appreciate it very much. I think this is our first player.
I think so, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this.
Appreciate you, Coop.
Yeah, this is great. I love doing stuff like this. Obviously, spent some time with Jason in Canada and happy to help whenever.
Yeah. So tell our listeners. So obviously we're a little bit more like golf coaching, but I mean, I think you as a player is going to bring good eyes or thoughts of like, how would someone go ahead and like take their game to the next level? So obviously you've gone through it, right? And you're in the heat of like to become the top professional golfer that you can be. Where'd you start? How was that? Like, how was golf, like junior life, like high school into college, and then, you know, the Canadian Tour, and then now onto the Korn Ferry?
Yeah, so I grew up in a golfing family. My grandparents were officials at the USGA, and they rated golf courses for Golf Digest. And so they got me and my two brothers, Luke and Sam, and to the game very early. And my mom and dad were good players too, before they had us. And yeah, so we got into the game early. I was born with like a stuffed animal golf club in my hands, and used to hit plastic balls around the house when I was 2 or 3 years old, and then started playing competitively around 6 years old. My grandparents and my parents did a tremendous job of allowing for Luke, Sam, and I to fall in love with the game. It was never something that we had to do. It felt like always something that we got to do. And so from an early age, I just loved it. I loved every second of golf. I wanted to go chip at the chipping green. That's all I wanted to do growing up, was just go chip with my grandpa or my parents. And yeah, I played junior golf on a more local scale in Texas from 6 years old till probably eighth grade. And then that was kind of when recruiting started getting younger. And so I started playing more national level tournaments like the Callaway Junior Worlds, Pinehurst, and then the AJGA circuit. And that kind of brought my game up a level, because those guys are the, you know, I played against Cam Young, Sam Burns, Scottie Scheffler. I played against Colin Morikawa. I played against all these guys that you see today that are the best players in the world, were kind of around my age. And so I got to compete with them. And then I did high school golf. And high school golf in Texas is just like the same as football in Texas. It's very cutthroat and very competitive. Yeah. And then I went to Baylor. I've had 45 people in my family go to Baylor, and loved every second of playing golf there for Coach McGraw. I got to play with my brother Luke. And then my brother Sam played with Luke for 2.5 years as well. And he's going to play his fifth year at Dallas Baptist this upcoming year. But yeah, I played college. And I was a good junior golfer. I was a good college golfer, but I still loved it. I mean, golf is what I get to do, is how I tell it. Like, obviously, I have a dream job. This is something that I have been working for my entire life, but it's also all I've ever wanted to do as well. And so fortunate to have a good college career and then turn pro and had no status anywhere, had played many tours, didn't get through Q school my first year, got through Canada Q school, played 2 years in Canada. Played okay. I had some good finishes, had some good weeks, but I was never very consistent up there. And then 24, I got my Korn Ferry card. This is year three on the Korn Ferry. And yeah, it's been amazing. It's definitely not private jets and nice hotels and nice houses and big checks. You can make a good living on the Korn Ferry, but I think turning pro with no status and then playing in Canada gave me a better appreciation for hopefully this year, but it might not be this year, who knows. But the day that I get on the PGA Tour, I'll appreciate it a lot more just because of the route I've had to go. But yeah, that's kind of my upbringing in the game of golf.
So Cooper, talk really quick, because you just sort of mentioned, you know, it's not all private jets and glamour out there, right? Sort of working your way to where you're at. So obviously when you're going through that, you've got a ton of support, ton of people that are on your side. But I think it's a sort of a good thing for our listeners to sort of hear that it's a total grind for people that don't have status. It's not a very sexy thing.
Yep.
You as an individual have this deep drive to try to be the best you can and to make it. And And how hard is that when there's no certainty for you as a player?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it just kind of depends on where your heart is, where your posture is with the game. I've always loved competing, whether that's in Alexandria, Louisiana on the All Pro Tour, which is a mini tour, and that place is not the nicest place in the world, or Shinnecock a couple weeks ago. Like, I feel like my competitive nature is the same at those two events. But to answer your question, like, I mean, you're staying with, I mean, there were times where we had three guys in a hotel room that wasn't the nicest hotel room. And, you know, you're eating cheap. I would say, like, basically, to explain it easier, like, mini tour golf is literally just gambling. You have no like pathway to any tour. You're just gambling your own money and trying to make money and play 4 days. And so you're playing wherever you can, whenever you can, and you don't get to choose how nice the course is or how nice the town is. You have to play golf. But I would like, I still like, for me, like, I still, like I said earlier, like, obviously Shinnecock is a bad example because that's like the top tier level. But when I go to a Korn Ferry event, I treat it the same as I did when I was playing in middle school, high school, college, mini tour, Canada. Like, I crave competition. I crave playing golf tournaments. And although mini tour life is not very nice, it's still a get to. But there are a lot of guys that struggle with that mindset. And I think that's why you see some guys stay there and some guys that, you know, move up.
Yeah, Cooper, what's your instructional journey been like? Obviously, the instruction that you've received. When did you start getting actual somewhat formal instruction? What's been the progress, especially as you went through college and stuff? And what's it like now?
Yeah, I'm not a technical golfer. I'm very, like, I would say creative, in that I'd like to curve the ball kind of like Bubba, not that big, but I do like to move it from left to right and right to left. But yeah, so my grandpa got me in the game, and he taught me how to play golf growing up. And then my first swing coach was Coach George Hannon, who used to be the head men's golf coach at Texas. And he was at a course called Spanish Oaks in Austin. And my grandpa took me to him. After him, I went to Bill Moretti in Austin. From Bill, I went to Corey Lundberg, who's now with Altus, but he used to be at UT Golf Club where I grew up, and then he moved to Carlton Woods. So I was with Corey for a while. After Corey, I went to Cameron McCormick in between Corey. Like, I saw Corey before he went to Altus. Then I went to Cam. Then Cam brought Corey on at Altus, and I went to Corey. And then I started seeing Chuck Cook for a little bit, and then I saw Troy Denton for 3 years when I first turned pro. And then now I work with Jordan Sanders, who's an assistant director of golf at my course called Merido. And I grew up playing with Jordan. I'm kind of getting to this, but so I got to see all these awesome coaches. I got to learn more about what works for me, what works for other people, but more importantly, what doesn't work for me. And it was nothing against these instructors as people. It's just, I'm as far away from technical as you're going to find, like, not as far as like Chandler Phillips or somebody like that, but I don't crave the vocabulary that some, you know, instructors teach. And that's okay. I just had to figure that out. So I kind of relate it to how I choose a caddy, I guess. I've had 20,000 caddies in the last 4.5 years. It's not something that I'm proud of. But
yeah, I'm one of those.
Yes, you are. But what I've found works best for me is family or friend, someone that I can really trust.
Sure.
And that knows my golf game. And so back to Jordan. Jordan and I grew up playing golf against each other. He was a grade older than me. He played golf at Texas Tech in North Texas and then got the Merido job. And so for the last 5 years, he's kind of learned under some coaches in Dallas. And I kind of finally got to this point where I'm like, I have my brother caddying for me. And I do that because I trust him. And, you know, I've had all these awesome swing coaches, but I don't ever really go and see them. And so I asked Jordan to work with me, and I see Jordan every day now, whether that's instruction or whether that's on course instruction, whether that's just playing golf together, whether that's just going to the chipping green together. So basically, to answer your question, I think instruction for me is less instruction and more so just playing golf and having fun on the golf course and trusting individuals that know how I play golf can kind of rein me in and not necessarily coach me. I'm not somebody that loves like about like being in certain positions, or I just need to figure out how to get the club to the top, how to get the club to the ball. And then a lot of instruction for me over the years has just been club face awareness. And because, like I said, I like to curve it a lot. So it's pretty easy to lose the club face when you like to curve it.
Well, yeah. A lot of players have a list of three things or something like that that they always check on. Do you have a list of three things or two things or four things or whatever? And if so, what are they? What are the things that you are kind of your touchstones that you always check on? If something's not going right, these are the things you check first. And it's probably one of those things.
Yeah, grip. Grip's number one. My right hand can get really weak because when I chip with a really weak right hand, and the chipping is the best part of my game. And so a lot of that kind of bleeds. I chip so much that it bleeds into my full swing. So trying to make sure that my right hand is always kind of strong enough, I guess. And then number two would be recently, I have a tendency to take the club out. And then from there I go up. I've got like a baseball swing in the past and I have really high hands. And so one of my tendencies is just to take the club out. And then the only place I can go from there is up and laid off just from where my golf swing goes. So trying to make sure what feels inside to me is actually just down the line. So grip down the line. And then in tournament play, I naturally aim pretty far right. And so a lot of the times when I'm at home or on the range, I try to make sure that my feet are perfectly aligned every time so that I get it's basically just grip, alignment, and takeaway for me, I guess, to answer your question. But yeah. I basically, when I'm nervous, I aim 100,000 yards right and just pull the crap out of it.
Yeah. Yep. You know, but you say that, and the amount of times that we talk to our students and we go, like, let's just get those key things down, and they all want to work about all this other stuff. And it's like, man, let's just get that set up, get that alignment, get that grip down, get the takeaway in a good spot, because everything's going to then spiral off that. So, man, that's awesome to hear.
I mean, the best player in the world does it every day. And we see it on TV every day because he's Scottie Scheffler. But, I mean, it's pretty remarkable how disciplined he is in his grip. I think that's something that everybody hates, even myself. I would never choose to go to the range and work on my grip. But it's just something that you have to do. That's a requirement. That's not something that is okay not rehearsing. Like you have to be very diligent. And I think Scotty is a perfect example of that.
So talking about the range, what's your like your daily, obviously outside tournament play, like daily life look like now? Obviously, congratulations, dad, on top of it. But what is that? What's your day look like as a player?
Yeah, I'd say since being a dad, it's been more quality over quantity. Not that I was very good at doing that prior, but I would say I like to play golf. I'm not a range rat. I'm not a putting green rat. And I am definitely somebody that is a chipping green rat. Cause if you put me on a chipping green, I could chip for as long as you asked. And I would do it all day if I could. But, I kind of wake up and I'd like to say go to the gym, but I'm not very disciplined in that area.
Same.
In a perfect world, I go to the gym at 8. I'm at the course by 9:30, 10 o'clock. Yeah, I try to at least get 30 to 45 minutes of good, you know, technique work on the range, because that's probably the time of the day where I'm the most willing to do it. And then I'll go get ready to go play. And we play a lot of money games at our course. And I've just found that playing golf is how I get better. My grandparents kind of instilled in us from a young age was that golf course is the best way to get better at golf. You can do all the things you need to do in a short amount of time on the range and then just go play golf. You're never going to have a flat lie on a range. You're never going to have the easiest, you know, chip shot into a green. You're not going to have that many straight putts from 5 feet on a mirror. So we just played golf. They'd actually take the pin out of the green and we would just hit to the middle of the green and just practice all the basic things that your parents tell you, not even your teachers, like just literally hit the fairway, hit the middle of the green, get out of there. So yeah, I try to play every day. I play probably.
You had some smarter parents than most people. So
yeah,
let's yeah. say that, because that's some higher level stuff than a lot of people would have their kids doing.
I was very blessed with parents that, like I said, made sure we loved it first. And then second, wanted us to get better. That was our job growing up. We weren't required to go get a job. We were required to practice at golf and get better at golf. But yeah, I try to play 18 to 27 holes a day. And I try my best after every round to go to the putting green and do my putting work, because putting is where I've struggled in the past. And what I've been doing over the last year has helped me become one of the better putters on the Korn Ferry Tour, which has been a blessing this year. But yeah, I'd say like I do the same thing every single day. I hit balls for 30 to 45 minutes. I work on my grip, my takeaway, and my alignment. I go play, come back, and I putt on a mirror to work on my setup. I putt on a Vizio to work on my stroke. And I do some sort of strokes gained putting drill to where I'm instilling competition in my practice. I just go chip, and my chipping is the farthest thing from technical work you'll ever see. It's literally hitting the stupidest shots just to wait, like get my hands warm to practice crazy shots. I would say every chip I hit is with cut intention, and I'm very steep. I'm long to short, but that's just how I grew up. I never had any instruction on my chipping, and that's just because I love chipping and think I've learned what works best for me around the greens. But yeah, that's kind of what I do on a daily basis.
Cooper, I want to go back to when you were talking about your instructional journey. And like, as I'm listening to you, you know, sort of what I was hearing was you value the relationship more than just the instructional piece, right? Relationship is important to you, right? And
yes,
like one of the things that I will tell a lot of players is I think every coaching relationship has a lifespan, and there's nothing wrong with somebody going and getting information from someone else. Mm-hmm. Once again, they might tell you the same thing that the previous coach told you, but you receive the message differently because they deliver it differently. Right. And so, you know, I think it's something really important, I think, for our listeners when they're listening to us as coaches talk. You can get good information, the same information delivered to you in 100 different ways. You got to find which way you receive that message. And once you find a way to receive it, you're probably going to get better as a player. And do you feel like since you've, you know, met up with, I think you said his name was Jordan, right?
Yeah.
You feel like that has helped you sort of take your game to another level because you're more comfortable, because you like the way he delivers the message? Like, how would you say that?
I mean, you hit the nail right on it. I mean, I think coaching is so unique in that, like you said, like I could go to Butch Harmon.
Yeah.
And he could tell me the same thing as Jordan, but it won't come across remotely close for some reason. And I think a lot of it just depends on the golfer itself. Like there are guys that are way, way more technical than me they get the ball in the hole fewer times than I do often. So I think that you just have to figure out who you are first.
Yeah.
And then you have to figure out what you want. And so for me, what I want is somebody that I can text when I'm on the road. I get immediate response. That's important to me. Communication is important to me. It sounds dumb, but our families being close is important to me because yep. My dream is to play on the PGA Tour, and hopefully Jordan will be able to go out there with me often. And that's someone that, you know, my wife will be spending time with, and that's important to me. But yeah, I think the relational aspect is kind of what I'm trying to explain that you hit on. Just I found that whether it's a caddy, whether it's an agent, whether it's a coach, I need somebody that I can trust. And
yeah,
that's not always golf. That's, you know, sometimes I'll call Jordan, ask him questions about how to be a dad.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's definitely coaches for some guys, and there's coaches that are not for some guys. And that's okay, because we play a sport that is so uniquely individualistic that it doesn't require you to go to this one person or go down this one route or
yeah,
chip this certain way or swing this certain, you know, there's that saying to have or make your golf swing your own or whatever it is.
Swing your swing.
And it's so true. I mean, I've played with guys on, you know, the Korn Ferry Tour that I would tell you from a non slow motion, their golf swing looks terrible, but they're some of the best players on the Korn Ferry Tour. So yeah, I'd say relational aspect is something that I was seeking growing up and finally found it with Jordan.
Cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I got two questions, one probably shorter than the other, but so for a lot of golfers that have, let's say, a tournament coming up, as a professional golfer, how do you go like prepping like for a tournament week?
Like at home?
Yeah, like at home or even leading up to the tournament, like so in your practice rounds, like how do you go about like thinking about the golf course?
Sure. My home weeks are always the same no matter what I'm preparing for. I play money games Monday and then Wednesday to Saturday. I just think that that's the best way I can simulate preparing for a golf tournament, is playing in some sort of game at home while also working on the things in a quick amount of time, whether that's 30 minutes, 45 minutes, that I think are going to help me. So for example, last week when I played in Denver, the week prior to Denver, the last 2 years, hole 8 is a par 3 that I have historically really struggled at. It's 100 and probably 170 to the front and 210 to the back. And from left to right, the green is probably 10 to 13 yards left to right. And then on either side, there's hazard. And it's just, like, doesn't really fit my eye. And so
that wouldn't fit my eye either. That sounds terrible.
Yeah. And so basically for 30 minutes, I tried my best to simulate that shot on the range. And so I had my quad, which had my Texas numbers. And then on my phone, I had my Denver numbers. So I was able to, one, you know, make sure I had the correct number that I was practicing. And then I just hit that shot a bunch of times and I hit the green every day last week. And so that was something that benefited me at home. Now, Monday to Wednesday, Mondays, unless it's the first week of a long stretch, I normally take off or get to the course and just play nine, like no practice, just hit balls, get warmed up and go play nine. It's normally my day to, like, if I want to tinker with something or basically I'm just trying to get the green speeds on the course and then get out of there. Cause we play a lot of golf and you can get really tired. Tuesdays, I always play the opposite side nine that I am of the pro-am. So I'll just go through Denver. That's the easiest way to do it. Monday, I got to Denver. I played nine holes left. Tuesday, I showed up. I did PT work in the morning. I worked putting in terms of technique and then speed to get speed down, warmed up when I went and played the back nine. I'm really just looking for, and this is a lot different this year because I know all these courses really well. But normally when I'm prepping, I'm on par fives. I'm looking at where I want to leave my second shot. That's really important out here because par fives, you got to birdie them all on the Korn Ferry Tour or you're losing strokes. Off the tee, I'm looking what's the widest point of the fairway that I can get my ball into. And I don't hit it super long. I would say I pride myself in fairways hit. That's a stat that I try to get better at this year. And I'm top five in it right now. And that's really helped me, like, make great strides in my golf game. Cause in my opinion, I don't think distance matters as much as being in the fairway. That's just my opinion. And I think that's what helps me play my best. And so I try my best to figure out how can I get this ball in the fairway on every hole that I play on Tuesday. Yeah, just looking around the greens. And then after the round, I'll go practice short game. Or if there was anything I was struggling with that nine holes, I'll go work on that on the range. Wednesday, I'll play the pro-am on the opposite side. And I'll do the same things in the pro-am. I'll talk to the guys. And then after they're done with the hole, I'll do my green work while they go to the next hole. Still looking for the same thing on the front nine, you know, how can I hit this fairway? And then my brother and I always try to look backwards on the course. So like when we're in the fairway, we'll look back at the tee and try to find a good angle. When we're at the green, we'll try to figure out certain pins, what's the best part of the fairway to come into these pins. And then I do most of my chipping work is to previous year pin locations, same with putting work. But after that, I always leave the golf course after the pro-am, after I eat, because for me, rest is really important. That's probably a good explanation of what every week looks like for me.
Okay. Awesome.
Awesome.
The next question I have for you is just, what's the coolest part of your golf career right now? Like, what's been just, you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened.
I think the easiest answer would be, I'll give you three answers. Getting my Korn Ferry card was pretty emotional. I think people don't really understand how hard it is to get on the Korn Ferry Tour. And so,
yeah,
my family was there and I remember walking off 18 green and crying, and my wife was there, my mom and dad, and just felt like weight lifted off my shoulders. I'm sorry to say this, but I didn't have to go back to Canada in 2024.
That's all right. I didn't want to have to do it again for you. Yeah. I felt bad. I was like, man, he's so much better than this place.
So that was one. Qualifying for Shinnecock with my brother caddying for me was something that I'll never forget. And my mom, my wife, and my son surprised me on 18 because I was in by enough to qualify. And that was, I'll never forget walking off the 18th green that day. And then two, honestly, like, family and friends are really important to me. And being able to travel this year with my wife and my son has been something that is probably the coolest experience that I've had in golf so far, is just being able to come home after every day and spend time with them and not have to FaceTime or anything. Like, that's been really sweet. And I think it's helped me play well this year too.
Awesome. That's so awesome.
Great stuff, dude.
Thank you.
Well, Cooper, thanks for coming on. Is there anything you'd like to sort of pitch to our listeners? You know, what do you have coming up? Anything at all? Where can people find you?
I have a 5-week stretch coming up next week on the Korn Ferry Tour. So easiest place to find me is probably the PGA Tour app, or my Instagram is just my name, Cooper Dossie. I'm trying to be active, but I'm not on my phone as much anymore with my son. but no, I think what y'all are doing is awesome. I think golf instruction is so unique. And I think golf instruction is also, people think that you'll go see a golf instructor and you'll just automatically get better. And I think that it takes time, and it takes time getting to know the instructor. It takes time getting to learn your golf game through instruction. And patience is very much a virtue when it comes to golf, but even more so when you're working on your golf swing. But I think it's the most important thing about golf is owning your fundamentals. And if you see the best player in the world doing that on TV every morning, then you probably should do that as well. And I admire your y'all's love for the game, because I think golf instructors have more love than us players. And I would never be able to teach golf because I don't know anything about the golf swing. but no, I appreciate y'all having me on. One of my fun hobbies is listening to podcasts and doing podcasts. And whenever y'all want me to come on, I'd love to do it. And all the best to all of you.
Yeah. Can you say that first part about how people expect to get better just because they went to get a golf lesson again, like 1,000 times?
That's right.
That'd be good.
Say it for the
nation. Come more right. often so that y'all get more money. Yeah.
It's the work you do between the lessons that is where it pays That's off, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You can find Cooper at the top, you know, in the top 10 currently of the Korn Ferry Tour points list. So that'd be a good place to find your name.
Thank you.
As well.
That's right. So, that's right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Jason, where can people find us?
You can find us all online at thespinaxis.com social medias at thespinaxis and online at thespinaxis.com.
Thanks for coming on, Cooper.
Thank you all so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man.